Probably the only guy with a full liquor license that is Rod Packer.
I tell you what, that might work out well for some of the guys who want to come check out your shop. You can also have them pour themselves a drink if they need one.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. It's Grant, and I just want to say Mott Flies suck. I just needed to get that out there. But what we're trying to do is we're going to do a few episodes. We're going to call them in-betweeners, and we're going to try and focus on Midwestern small business fly fishing companies. So we've got rod builders. We've got online, musky fly stuff. We've got feather guys. We've got fly guys. And I really want you to take a listen, and I want you to reach out to these people and talk to them. If you need gear, if you've got questions, these are the people you can reach out to. You can actually talk to these people on the phone. They will help you out. They'll answer your questions. You know, find them on social media, shoot them emails, visit their sites and buy from them. It's, we always talk about buying local. This is your chance to do that. We're going to put their links in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back with full episodes, earlier in the spring. But until then, check these people out. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Welcome everybody to another one of our, what I'm still trying to call in-betweener episodes. We've got, Matt here with us.
Hello.
And then we also have Tom from Chippewa River Custom Rod with us. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Tom, we wanted to have you on today because, I've heard nothing but amazing things about the rods that you build, from the, fly anglers all the way from, your trout side to, I know there's a lot of buzz about your predator rods. Before we get into that, could you give us a little background on how did you get into building rods?
Well, I started building rods, I think, when I was around 10 years old with, my uncles did it. So I kind of picked it up from there. And then I went in the service and kind of, didn't do anything, kind of full-time job there. And when I got back, I picked up fishing right away again, and went back to building for myself. And then I started probably in 2003 or four, I started selling, because I purchased a bar in northern Wisconsin, but I also was selling some rods that I was making through the bar. And then I went online in about 2005 is when I launched online. But I always kept it pretty low key. And now I've, after about 15 years, I've really pushed hard here the last couple of years and expanded it quite a bit. And now it's my full-time job. So
excellent.
Love it.
When you first started out building rods, what kind of rods were you building?
I was building I was building mostly walleye spinning rods.
Okay.
The Minnesota all round 6'6" medium light, lots of that. And then I got into fly fishing after I was in the service. I started, really building on the fly rods around, 93, a long time ago, So, and then when I moved up to northern Wisconsin also and opened the bar, I worked for St. Croix from home, high-end guides on the rods for them. So I'd go and pick up 150 rods at a crack up there and then get them done over the course of the week, put the guides on them, get them back up to them. So it really kind of upped my game as far as speed and accuracy. And then being around how they did it professionally, manufacturing really helped with my speed and precision of doing it as a custom builder. Seeing the steps that they did and how they broke it down really, really helped.
Do you remember the first fly rod they built?
Yep. It would have been probably a Legend Elite blank, a 9'5" weight. Would have been my first rod.
It's a good Midwestern.
I had every single one of those fly rods that I got obsessed with. building that one particular rod blank, and I built every model they had. I think I had like 28 of them or something. I don't even think I fished half of them.
That's pretty fantastic.
Are your rods today, are they your blanks or are they other people's blanks?
Some of the blanks I get from Rain Shadows, the manufacturer of them. They're available to any home tire that would want to tie them. And then I have my Predator one piece I have custom built, and I'm working on a two piece right now that I'm about ready to launch. The one piece with shipping, it's been a hassle. If you haven't casted a one piece rod, you really got to try one once.
That's what I hear.
I've heard they're absolute rockets.
Yeah, they really are. Everyone stopped making everything one piece because the three major shippers dropped their bulk rates from 9 feet to 8 feet. And that's when everyone quit, because for me to ship one is about 100. I'd cap it at 125 to the customer, but I think I paid 168 today when I shipped one out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So that's why all that's dropped. You'll see some, you know, the fly rod industry completely got out of it, but you'll see some longer rods in the stores for musky, the casting gear. But it's just because they're taking them and putting them in retail locations. So the retailers buying 100 of them, you know, so the shipping's almost the darn same. So that's why that got cut. And I found the blank because they were discontinuing them and they were on sale really cheap. So I was like, I'll give it a shot and, you know, pay for the shipping and see how it goes. And I got them and it was just an incredible rod blank. And I worked for about 3 years to get them to make them for me. And now it's, you know, I got to order 30, 40 at a time, but they're willing to make them. Sometimes it's a long wait, but on the two pieces, I'm pretty quick with the being able to get them stocked. But the one pieces, sometimes I have delays in them working them into their production. So
on the fly rod side right now, if somebody were to go to your website, what fly rods do you offer?
I offer basically a whole line. I have my Predator fly rods, which are, and then I have a dry fly series and a nymph series. I guess the only real difference between the nymph series and the dry fly series are the grips. And once the streamer series all have full wells, whereas the dry fly only have the half wells. And then there's a fighting butt on the streamer rods. And then I offer them moderate fast, a fast, and then an extra fast. So quite a range.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I have everything on hand to make them. I don't have them made, but I've gotten to the point now where I keep everything on hand. So that way when an order comes in, I can take it. And I'm usually getting it out the door within a week.
Oh, wow.
Built to specs. With custom techs, I have that made out of house right now. Sometimes depending upon when an order comes in and the way their schedule lands, sometimes me getting that custom text back in takes a little while. So sometimes I can be out to 2 weeks out, you know, but if it's something that they want custom done, you know, when I say custom, I'm letting you to pick your colors of your wraps and your, and if you want any custom text on it, but if you wanted a complete custom build, you know, where I'd have to order parts, you know, that's usually taken me about 2.5 weeks to get them out. So I try to push them through the door pretty fast. I don't know. A lot of custom builders are booked out. It's like, how can you booked out that long?
that's pretty good. That's a fast turnaround.
I put out 25 last week in a comfortable week. So,
wow.
Yeah. It gets efficient as you're doing batches of them.
So you're doing like multiple rods at a time?
Yeah, I'll do
not like one rod start to finish.
No, I'll do multiple rods at a time where I'll take, you know, whatever orders come in for, you know, that 2 or 3 day period. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's not, you know, but I just kind of move them through that way. And it's a lot faster, you know. Once you make a mess out in the garage, ream and cork, doesn't matter if you're cleaning up after one or if you're cleaning up after 20, it's the same amount of work. So it's better with. So, yeah. And then I just change out, you know, change out the, pick different components. Cause sometimes I'm going from a musky fly rod to a trout rod or to an ice rod. So it's kind of all over the place. It doesn't get quite as boring.
Do you have from ice to predator to spinning to.
Yeah.
I didn't see a Tinkara on your website at all. What's your favorite rod to build?
I like building the predator fly rods. I like building them a little heavier. The heavier rods, honestly, are a little bit easier for me to build and get proper line tension on. When you get really light, it gets frustrating. The noodle ice rods were, when I first got them, I got so frustrated. I thought I was just going to heat shrink the guides on it. And I was like, the girlfriend harassed me about it. She's like, you can't do that. You got to tie them. So it probably took me 40 hours to figure out just how to tie on that rod because they're so, you can't get any thread tension because they're so, so, there's no, you can't get any tension. On.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. I'm looking at this 9-foot 4-piece fast streamer rod. That looks pretty
cool. Huh? That's what I'm saying. Like before you hopped on, Tom, we were talking about Matt and I both have, or Matt has, I had a Synchro bank robber and I screwed the tip on mine up. They don't make the rod anymore. So
I'll sell you one. Cause I'm going to get this fast streamer rod.
Well, that's what I was looking at. That I was like, that looks like a better replacement than the Imperial that they sent me. I broke the bank robber and sent it in. They're like, well, we can't fix this. So they just sent me an Imperial 6-weight and gave me a credit. I'm like, well, I need a proper 6-weight streamer rod. And I've been looking at your website the last couple of weeks. I'm like, that looks like the rod I should replace it with. I could get brown trout bridge beers on it, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could.
We could get fancy yellow and black.
I've done some rods now too, where I'm able to actually get right down to detail and do company logos. You know, if companies or if you as an individual wanted to send your logo for your podcast down to my decal maker, they can get an exact of it and I can inlay it right into the rod.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So looking at your website and the ordering, you have weights. Like this rod has a 5, 6, 7, and an 8.
Yep.
And then personalization would be where you would add like a logo, like you had just said, or I suppose
if it's a logo or something like that, it's easiest just to contact me. But if it's a name, you can just type it in there. And then the Edwardian script, I think, looks nice. It's what my company logo is written in. Mm-hmm. But on the thinner rods, on the ice rods in particular, it doesn't show up well enough. But on the bigger rods, and I'll shoot you guys some pictures of some close-ups of how that custom text looks.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so then going down, the next option is thread wrap colors. And is that that's the thread that holds like the guides on?
Yep. The main color would be and then the trim would be like the little tickings, by the hook keeps or by the, by the stripper guides. Oh, one other thing. I do not put hook keeps on my fly rods except for on the dry fly rods. But if wanted, it can always be put in notes to seller. It's kind of how I do.
Okay.
Guys call in and if they want something different, like some guys don't want the wind grips. My Predator fly rods, I have wind grips. And some guys want cork grips, I just take and have them put it in the notes to the seller. And then the order just comes across and I see it and can switch anything out and customize it that way. Also, that's something.
Yeah. And then it looks pretty easy. You just hit add to cart and you're done.
You're out.
Yeah, and then all prices include shipping, so there's no worries on that, except for on the One Piece Predator fly rods is the only one that I got shipping on.
Right.
Just because of logistics, because in the upper Midwest, I can ship them pretty cheap. The reason I even bothered getting them or handling them was because I found a small shipper in the upper Midwest here. I think they're 7 or 9 states. They'll ship them for $25, but anything... But yes, with speedy delivery. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those guys
are crazy.
Awesome.
They're crazy. They picked up six rods that were going down to the Muskie Fool. And they picked them up at 3 yesterday afternoon, and they were there at 9 this morning. I don't know how they do it, man.
And then they bring everything back to St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not you. If you're on 94, like around 6 o'clock in the evening, it's just nothing but speedy trucks, one after another, heading north.
Yeah. They must be moving.
Matt, yeah. maybe we need to talk to Speedy and figure out their logistic plan.
I think so. And then reading through your literature on the rod, there's a 3-year warranty. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, some guys have kind of said stuff about it not being a lifetime warranty. I kind of lifetime warranty them. I'll do stuff for cost, or, you know what I mean? If stuff happens, or like, moment.
No rod company has it's not like they used to be where you could like buy it, fill out the warranty card, snap the thing in half, send it in, they mail you a brand new rod. Well, everyone's got some kind of charge now that goes along with.
They've found it's just not logistically possible.
Right.
It was
a bad business model to begin with.
Yeah. I think it sold a lot of rods. Yeah. I had a guy call me once because he wanted to warranty 4 rods because his wife drove the car through the garage. I'm like, man, I can't help you there. I can give you a discount on some rods, but I feel your pain, but I can't warranty stuff like that. So, but when I started out, I was mostly going to push on the spinning rod side. I figured it'd be an easier market to get into.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm finding this one piece Predator fly rod really pushed my name forward because no one else had it out there in the fly fishing world. So I got big in the Muskie and Predator with those guys. And now I'm getting those guys out some trout rods and some bass rods and stuff like that too now. So it's
worth nice. Yeah. There's that Facebook Muskie fly fishing group, and I swear as soon as somebody new shows up and asks, I'm new to this, what kind of rod should I get?
My name usually pops up pretty
usually quick. Within the first 2 to 3 responses, and then there's like 30 more after that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see when your name gets brought up over other large manufacturers rods.
Is that what you prefer to fish for, is the bigger Predator?
I mostly fish smallmouth personally, just for logistical reasons, for ease. Yeah. You know, the rivers up here, you pretty much got to float, if you're going to be musky fishing. So I'll just go wade the smaller ones for smallmouth usually. But I do a lot of fall trips. I know a lot of guides in the area. So when there's a free seat, I'll sit in sometimes.
What's out of your rod lineup, what's your favorite smallmouth rod?
I like the 7-weight extra fast streamer rod. Beautiful, beautiful cobalt blue blank. Just super crisp. The handle's really nice.
What kind of line do you like to throw on that one?
I overline all my stuff. So I use an 8-weight floater. The river's so shallow around here. I just use a floating line. If I'm running a crayfish pattern under it, I don't need it. I don't feel I need a sinking line, just run a short, a leader and let her go down. It's only if it's a 4 or 5 foot hole, it's a deep hole in this river here where I'm at. Yeah, that would be my favorite. That would be my favorite one for sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to continue on about the warranty. The thing about the warranty is too, I need the customers to send the actual section, the broken sections back. So if it's the tip, I would need the first 2 sections because they custom fit because each blank is custom built. So they like to actually custom fit the broken section in, because sometimes there's up to a 1/2 inch difference, in how far how far the ferrule goes in. If you get one that was made and the finish on it's a little bit heavy, and then you get one where it's a little bit light, you get quite a bit of play. So they like to custom fit their tips for that. So that's the other kind of different thing. I know a lot of companies will just send out a tip, but these guys are like, no, there's no way, you'll never get the proper fit. You know, all this stuff is hand built, so it really needs to be, you know, hand matched. Cool. And then turn time on that's been about 2 weeks for those two, you know, for to, once that gets shipped out by the customer to get it back to them, it's about 2.5 weeks. So not too bad.
That's not bad. Just took me 2.5 months to get my Sage section back.
Yeah, I heard that a lot of people are having a lot of issues with stuff. A lot of the big companies are, and I don't know what it is, if it's a labor thing or if it's a components thing, or the company that I get most of my components, except for, like I said, my Predator fly rod blanks, I get them all from one company. So I don't know if it was just easier for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a lot of these companies are relying on 5-6 different companies having all their different components that they're using on it to make a rod. And if any of that, and if any of that fails, you're not getting a rod, you
know? Yeah.
You can't get the tip top, you can't sell a rod. So yeah, I seen St. Croix was trolling their website, and it looks like they're almost sold out of everything right now.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty wild ride in the outdoor industry. So
yeah,
don't know if it'll continue or if there's going to be a bunch of stuff for sale on Craigslist here coming soon when things get back to normal.
You know, I thought that, you know, coming up on the summer, but I think we're still going to have another season of just more people being outdoors than normal, because they're not all going to go sit back in the bars yet. So
yeah, because you closed them down to build fly rods.
Yeah, they were really sitting in the bars last summer, though, too, in northern Wisconsin. You know, there were no rules. So, like, everyone from the bigger cities was up here, and it was just nuts. So.
Yeah, the few times I drove back to Wisconsin last year, I noticed that there wasn't a whole lot of what us Minnesota call rule following with the whole bar game.
It was the Wild West. It was nuts. I closed down. You know, for the first close down and took it serious. And I think I went out until they actually shut it off. And then I opened back up. It was probably 3 months I was closed down, but then I opened back up and then I closed again. And right before deer hunting season, it just, too many people in the area were getting sick, and I was busy with fly rods. So I was like, I'm bagging it and shutting it down. It ain't worth it. All the tourists were gone and it slowed down. So
yeah.
And then it turned into a full-time thing. And now I just decided to move the fishing rod company over into the bar. So
smart move on your part.
Yeah. My other space was getting used up. It was a little too small too. So, but yeah, it'll work out good, I hope.
I don't think your business is going to slow down anytime soon from what I can see.
No, it seems to be going good. I think just giving people good customer service really helps. And I know a lot of people are really frustrated. I've talked to people about stuff and they're just really frustrated with all sorts of companies, just, you know, and stuff's getting hard to get, I guess, too. Like we're talking about.
Customer service goes a long ways. I think that, you know, that's easily 50% of a purchase decision for me anyways.
Yeah. And I think with the power of the internet now, it's getting to be even more and more of that. I think your customer service, you don't need to spend all the money on the marketing, you know.
No.
If you give customer service and just give it time, it just builds, you know. And so I've never really worked hard at any of the marketing. I just really started social media here last year, I think I got an Instagram, you know, so, but yeah, I just think that just doing the slow grind and picking up customers and getting customers from other customers is kind of the way to go. And I feel real comfortable about it because then I know that they've seen my rods or, you know, and they know what they're going to get. You know what I mean? So it's good to get them out because of that too. So, you know,
word of mouth is still the best marketing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What would you say, you know, your favorite part of building these rods is?
You know, I really used to like to wrap the guides. I mean, when I was going for St. Croix, I was cranking. I mean, I could crank out some rods really, really fast. but, and I still kind of like that, but I've really been getting into the epoxy work on it, you know, just getting it nice and clean and perfection on the epoxy. It was something that, you know, I don't know, the wrapping part is almost become like second nature. I can almost do it in my sleep now.
Okay.
I can show you that later if you want, but I mean, I've probably wrapped, someone's over. I don't remember who was over, if it was Dan from Musky Fool or Brad Bowen, or I'm not sure. It was some guide and asking me how many guides that I think I'd done. And I calculated it out and I figured I probably did close to 500,000 guides so far in my life. Yeah. I racked up a lot when I worked at St. Croix. I was, the spinning rods, it was insane. It was all piecework, but it was insane how fast they have you put them on there. I think they were having you do 5 rods an hour is what they were looking for. Yeah. It was,
wow.
It's pretty easy, pretty fast, pretty efficient. And so, but yeah, now I've really gotten into the epoxy work and I really like that and the aesthetics of it.
Excellent.
And, yeah. You know, and the social media end of it, I've kind of started to like a little bit too, and attention to detail there, as much as it's kind of a drag to do all the time, but it's kind of a necessity of life now. But just the challenge of getting good photography of a fishing rod without being a professional photographer was kind of nuts. It was really hard. Now I've just gone to a regular photo box that I cut some slits in the side so I can slide the rod all the way through it to get my photo. I used to have to do it in the greenhouse on a cloudy day, you know, and an okay. Because something about you get too much reflection off the epoxy otherwise for a good detail.
Right.
But yeah, I just really like the attention to detail on the stuff, you know? And I got blown up last November with musky rods and it just became unbearable. And I had to change how I actually made them or my process on how I made them and have it, I guess, I compartmentalize it more now. And it's much easier to keep track of and I can move through stuff way more efficiently. Hmm. Kind of based on what I've seen at St. Croix factory a little bit, you know, it's not anywhere near as close, but the baby version of it is what I tried to do.
So, you know, from start to finish, what's the 10,000 foot view of a rod build look like? We're like, what's first and what's the finishing touches on it?
The first, well, when I get an order in, the first thing is dealing with paperwork. my least favorite part. But then I'll go through and I'll pull the parts, you know, I'll pull all the handle parts and put it with the rod and number the rod and number the parts and put them in a baggie on a clipboard with the order. And then I run them over to my garage shop. I got a garage shop where I do all the reaming of the cork just because it creates so much dust. I don't like it around the finishing area. Really, cork dust gets everywhere. So I bring them over there. Then you ream them out with the tapered bits and get them to fit the blank right. And then I run them back over to the main shop here and glue the handles on. And then after that step, I put the wine check on, which is that little decorative piece down by the cork that transitions, and glue the tip. And then the next step that would be for me to do would be to wrap them, the guides. And then the next step, this is how compartmentalized I've gotten with it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll straighten the guides. And then after I straighten the guides, I'll move them onto their first coat of epoxy. And then after their first coat of epoxy, I check them for any, we'd call them tags. You can really notice if there's a little stick up of epoxy or anything like that, you clip that off with a razor blade.
Okay. And then
decal the rod up and then put your finishing coat on. Sometimes I try to keep my coats really light. So sometimes it takes me 3 coats to get it done. I'll see a little spot where I can see an edge on a sticker or something like that. So I'll go down by the handle and put it, you know, another layer of epoxy on there if necessary, but I try to keep it as thin as possible.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm finding I need to put another one on. And then after that, they're pretty much done. Just got to package them up and ship them out. There's a lot of dry times. It's probably a 12-hour dry time on the epoxy for the handles. It's a real slow curing epoxy. The faster curing epoxies, they do make some. I found that they tend to crack. You can hear them cracking. And the slower curing epoxies remain a little bit more pliable. And then about 24 hours on the coats of finish epoxy on the guides is probably the dry time on that. I'd like to wait about 24 hours before you touch them. Humidity, weather-wise, you know, it changes, but 24 right. hours, you're either safe or you're screwed. Start over, you know, yeah. you screwed that one up. You didn't get the epoxy mix right, but yeah, 24 hours for that. So that's where a lot of the build time takes me. You know, I could do them. I could turn them out a lot quicker, you know, and get them out the door to customers faster if I didn't have that time window of the drying times. So, and I'll probably put 2.5 hours into a rod now, usually. Okay. Average, right around there, I'm thinking. I'd have to really kind of look at it. You know, I'm kind of loose on it. You know, it's right next to my house, so it's not like going to the office and sit there for 8 hours and do it. It's, you know what I mean? Sometimes if I got a lot of orders, sometimes it'll be up at 9 a.m. and work till, you know, midnight making rods on time. I don't like to let stuff get backed up. So, and then there's
awesome. Good for you.
Then there's days where I get to go fishing. Yeah. Those are becoming fewer and fewer.
So yeah.
Might need to get someone to start doing the packaging or something like that.
Yeah. Just somebody to help with the shipping and the paperwork part might free up your time a little bit more.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's not too bad though with return customers, you know, once you get everything into the database, then it ain't too bad, you know?
Yeah.
And then I document pretty good too on what they bought, if they get any personalization or anything like that. Or I custom turn corks for guys too, if they want to get that picky about it. Like they got a favorite fly rod handle that they got. If they can hit that thing with a micrometer for me, I can usually get them to within 1/100 of an inch on all the diameters and the placement of it too. And I offer that service too. So. And then I keep all those numbers. So if anyone needs anything, you know, a second rod and they want it the same, it can just be looked at and done the same. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I was listening to your podcast, the lady anglers, the fly anglers from Minnesota. I'm going to try to hook that female market, I think, with that. And I think I might actually just size a cup, because I might just have some custom sized corks made. And I'm thinking I'm in the future offering different size corks for different people, you know, a small, a medium, and a large cork, you know, because I don't know. They're all different. I know I've had favorite ones and you can't get them, but you know, you like how it casts, but you don't like how the cork feels. But
yeah.
So I thought, man, no one would buy a pair of tennis shoes without trying them on. You know, why are we buying the part of the fly rod that we're actually using and holding on? You wouldn't buy a baseball mitt without trying it on, but.
And that could be one of those things where you could have, if you had sizes, you could have, you know, a short rod section with a small, a medium, and large. And like that goes to, you know, the fly shops and they've got it sitting there and, you know, the check sheet of, I want this rod with this thread and, you know.
Yep, I tried that with spinning rods, and it didn't go so hot, but no. I think if I got
I'll
with
scrap the right, that idea, the right Grant, fly shop. Why'd you think of that, Grant? That's stupid.
If I got with the right fly shop though, it would definitely work. Yeah, it would definitely work. But you know, I've done it too, where people just take a sewing tape measure and wrap it around there and take a picture of it, you know, and I can pretty much judge from that, do the math on it and get it so I can you know, get it dialed in on the, what I'll do is then is just match it the same with my tape. Mm-hmm. And then I'll mic it out after that and then save that info. So then I know what they like, but yeah, but I like the idea of having them where you can just pick your sizes, you know, and
do it. If you could hold it at the
location. Yeah. At a physical location. Yeah. And then you'd have to, then it would, yeah, that's how I was going to do it. That's how I did it for a little while. And it was just a local shop up here. But that's basically how I was going to do it. I had everything laid out. I had all the colors on a stick of the different colored wraps. And I had all sorts of guide options. And it was way too much. There was too many flavors. It got overwhelming for the order process. But now I, because on my old website, I had, what did I call it? I had like pre-built rods or pre-designed rods and custom rods. And I think people thought that to get custom text and colors, they had to go into the custom.
because you could just tell that in the, you could tell they didn't fish because their order was all over the place. So I was like, oh, I better call this person. They're buying their spouse. This is a non-fisherman buying a gift for a spouse or a loved one, and this order is screwed up. So I got away from that. Like, yeah. 95% of the people can probably use what I'm offering standard, you know, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, a standard yep. basic package, and go with that. But yeah, but I like, you know, doing the stuff custom for guys though too. You know, some guys want, I know some guys on the musky fly rods I've gone and done, and I normally don't do it, but put the, I use a spay rod handle on there sometimes if they want it. I typically don't, usually I'm just going with the full wells, but if people request it, I'll do it, you know, unless I feel it's not right. I mean, I'm not the one to judge, but if it's a handle thing or something like that, or something that I know is, yeah, it'll work, you know, it's goofy, but yeah, it'll work, you know, I'll definitely do it. But if someone asks me to do something that I don't feel comfortable with, I usually don't. I stay away from it.
Well, that's fair. You don't want to put your name on it.
Yeah. You know, if I don't, you know, if they're talking to certain fishing techniques or something that I really don't have any clues about, I'll just like, no, I don't do that. I don't feel that, you know, I'm not comfortable. So. But yeah, I've really gotten to like building the fly rods. It's really been, and I'm thinking eventually, you know, maybe if I get too busy, I can phase out some of the other stuff and stick more just to fly rods. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going to go. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep building rods one at a time.
That's good. That's good. Well, I know it's on my to-do list. I know fish this spring with a couple guys that throw your rods. I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to get one in my hands, give it a shot. Like I said, I was talking with Tui. He's got one of your six weights. I want to try that out. And then plenty of the Eau Claire musky dudes have your pieces. I want to try those out.
Yeah, I got a lot. And if you want, stop by. You know, I'm not far from Eau Claire. And there's some really good fishing up here. I mean, I'm right sandwiched between the Chippewa and the Flambeau. People can stop in and take one out for a test drive. You know, I've got rods around, I think.
There you go, Grant. Road trip.
Road trip time. Perfect.
Yeah, you know, I got reels. I got rods. So, you know, I just won't row the boat for you. But, yeah, I like it when people are able to come and try one out, too. You know, it's a little different running. And it was hard to get footing on the selling stuff online as far as fishing rods. I think people are getting more comfortable as they get to know my name. And I also think that people are just getting more comfortable buying on the internet, you know what I mean, than they used to be. But it's kind of a hard sell when you're saying, hey, plunk down your hard-earned money for something you've never put your paws on or seen or handled before. You know, it's a little different than being able to go into the local fly rod shop and pick one up and wiggle it around and stuff. So that was a bit of a struggle too, but I just wanted to keep it really simple and to try to keep my pricing down, is to just direct market it that way.
I would say looking at your pricing, I mean, that's right in the sweet spot, I think, for even your beginning anglers to somebody who's been fishing for 15 plus years. That's a really good price point to get into.
Thanks.
Custom rod.
Yeah. Thanks. I looked at it. How would I say? I based the pricing off the MSRP of the parts. So you'd have to find a pretty good sale to find it much cheaper if you actually went out and bought the parts and built it yourself, to be honest with you. You know, I got to, like, it's, yeah, then that's kind of where I based my model on, is what the MSRP of the parts are, and then an assembly fee and free shipping.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yep. And then that's how, if guys want something done custom, that's how I determine what I'm going to charge for it. And I have a lot of other, I probably have close to 600 rod blanks I can get to myself here. Everything on my website I have here, but I can probably get them about another 600-700 blanks that I could have within a week. If there's, you know, cause right now I think I only have 9-foot fly rods on my website, but I can get, you know, shorter ones also, but there's just so many to list that for me as a small guy, you know, it's almost gets to be too much just to keep up with the website.
Yeah. You've
got a million products on there. It's like, this is what I got. And if you don't find it, I think I got a note on there just to shoot me a message. I can make pretty much whatever. So
Well, yeah, I think that's the important people thing for like people listening. If you want something specific and you don't see it, just reach out, shoot an email.
Yeah.
Your phone number's on the website. Give you a call.
Yeah. And actually I prefer the calls. I answer my phone pretty much 24/7. I prefer the calls just because I find that I can get through it quicker by talking than by going back and forth on email. You know, I don't know. I still like the talking on the phone, but then I'll follow it up. You know, we'll follow it up with an email once I got things dialed in on what they're looking for, you know, and get a confirmation just so, you know, if they want to order it or whatever, if it's something custom and it's way off base from one of my rods, excuse me, I'll just use PayPal and shoot them a PayPal request. And then in the note, I write down exactly what they specifically ordered so that there's a hard copy of it. And that's how I handle the stuff that's, you know, different. I had a guy last week that was getting a musky gear rod that didn't want it 710. He wanted 7.2 so it would fit in the back of his truck. So, you know, get out the hacksaw on, take 8 inches off the ass. There you go. You got a 7.2 musky rod. So, perfect, yeah, I'll do it.
Perfect fit.
Whatever's wanted. So,
well, Matt, do you have any other questions for Tom?
I don't. I think we should go up there and watch him build a rod and go fishing. And
yes,
I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think we should bring cameras and like just do a whole video audio section of it. And then we can go fish the rod and go catch smallies with it.
Yeah. You know, I could set it up where we'd have them all at different stages, you know, have different rods at different stages along the process that I can speed the whole process up, you know. You jump over stuff.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for sitting down and spending time with us.
How do people find you, Tom? Where are you all on? I heard a bunch of different social media platforms, but
Facebook and Instagram. All down. Facebook and Instagram are the two that I use.
Okay.
And then, my website's, you know, www.crcustomrod.com. And yeah, so pretty easy to find.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
So on like Instagram, they'd look up CR Custom Rods?
Yeah, Chippewa River Custom Rod. River. I can't remember the exact thing. I couldn't put Chippewa River. I had to have dashes in there and it's just too much.
I'll put the link.
It finds it somehow.
Right. It's pretty smart.
I'll put the links and stuff in the show notes. And
okay.
Yeah, we'll go from there. But
all right.
Well, do you have any questions for us, Tom?
No, it was great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed listening to your podcast. I've been crunching on it here the last few days just to get the feel of it. So
we're sorry.
Yeah,
I can finally stream podcasts and stuff now. Now that I got, they brought in the fiber optic. I mean, 6 months ago, I was still getting Netflix on DVD for Christ's sakes. They still do that.
That's one of the incredible.
Last people.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you have a good evening.
Thanks, Tom.
Don't stay up too late wrapping rods, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you much, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.